You guys are so excited to be in church this morning, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited to see you guys in church. You can't get away from church. Even when we go away, we catch church online, so you can never not be in church somehow. So I want to thank those people who are joining us online, live stream right now. Welcome, welcome. Wherever you are, thank you for being with us today. We're so glad that you're a part of our service this morning. So I'm going to get right into the Word of God, and we're in that new series. What's it called? Forward. So before we do, let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. So powerful. Can you pray with me this morning? Say, Father God, Holy Spirit, my mind is open, my heart is open to hear your Word. I want to have everything that you want to give me so I can live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We're going to start by looking at John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 15. But before we do, I want to tell you that you have an incredible, awesome, powerful friend, and that friend is Holy Spirit. Now, the problem is that most of us can know theologically that Holy Spirit is a person. I mean, God has revealed himself as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So theologically, we can know that Holy Spirit is a person, but many of us fail to think and relate to him as a person. When I first got born again, I used to think of Holy Spirit as being an it, a power, an energy, a force. When I was first born again, in our church, we used to have this old-time Pentecostal preacher come every single year. The pastors brought this guy in, him and his wife, every year in January to get the church moving so that we can live by faith. And his name was Bob Hoover. Does anybody know who Bob is? A few, very few maybe. Bob Hoover, better known as Hoover the Mover. He was known as Hoover the Mover, and he had this big, booming voice. Even when he was in his 80s, he was an awesome Pentecostal preacher. And every time he preached, he'd put into his message three elements, three things he always included, what he calls the three steps of every single believer. Number one, salvation by faith through Jesus Christ. And immediately after that, right away, baptized in water as an act of obedience and faith to Jesus Christ. And number three, the third step, baptism in the Holy Spirit for the empowerment for every believer to live a life glorifying to God with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's exactly what the Word tells us to do. Bob Hoover, he used to always preach out of the King James Version. So every time he talked about Holy Spirit, he referred to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. Now, for me as a young believer, it was hard for me and it was hard for us. It's hard to relate to a ghost. Do you agree with me? It's hard to relate. So we can fail to think of him as someone who can be so close, a person whom we can actually walk with and talk with. So we need to look at the Bible to see what Jesus said about Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 15. The very words of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Notice he says he, not it. He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's someone. He's so close. He's so intimate. He's literally closer than close. You know what a good definition of Holy Spirit is? Jesus Christ in a Christian. Jesus Christ living through a Christian. Now, notice, verse 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The question is, who will come? Is Jesus actually going to come in person again, or is Holy Spirit going to come? Of course, the answer is Holy Spirit is going to come. And then in verse 26, Jesus said this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Now, we know that Holy Spirit is God, but we need to know him personally. Why do we need to know him personally? I'll give you some powerful reasons. Number one on your screen. We need to know him personally because Holy Spirit is to be to you today what Jesus Christ was to the disciples long ago. Let me say that again. Holy Spirit is to be to you today what Jesus was to disciples so long ago. He was Lord. He was Savior. He was teacher. He was guide. He was comforter. He was their friend. He was their director, their mentor, and many more things. And listen, you and I, we are to treat the Holy Spirit as the disciples treated Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that if you don't do this, then you're going to find a lack, a barrenness in your life. John 15, verse 5. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what? What is nothing? Nothing. Nothing. You can't do anything. And then verse 8, he says, this is so powerful. Listen, by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So, you know, there's so much emphasis on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. People want to know about the gifts, but there's too little emphasis on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Do you agree with that? Do you agree? In Galatians chapter 5, 22, the great apostle Paul said to the Galatian church, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of walking and talking with Holy Spirit is this. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. It's self-control. That needs to be vibrantly displayed in our lives. It's who we are to be. It says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, let's follow after him as the disciples followed after Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Boy, do we need to know him personally. Here's the second reason we need to know him personally. Because our relationship with Holy Spirit is so vital to an abundant, blessed life. What does he do? Here's what he do. Look on your screen. He does things like this. He makes the word come alive to us as we read it, as we meditate on it. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It goes deep into you. It reveals to you what's really in your mind and in your heart. He helps us to pray, even when we don't know how to pray. Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Romans 6:26, he makes us better communicators. When we don't know what to say, Holy Spirit gives us the words to say. Matthew 10:19. He's also our comforter, our helper, like Jesus said in John 14:26. He quickens us. He can heal our mortal body. Same Spirit that's in a believer is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He provides gifts to Holy Spirit. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You've got one of those gifts. He'll give you one of those gifts if you want. He provides gifts to believers. He builds up our faith and our love. Jude 20. He gives us peace and joy for our lives. Romans 14:17, one of my favorite scriptures. Jesus said, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? He works in us to change our character. He changes us to make us more like Jesus. He puts him within us as we walk with him and talk to him. He develops these things called the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And he does so many more amazing things and way more than that. Listen to Paul's prayer for the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Paul said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the what? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship is a word that means there's an intimacy, there's a special closeness in a relationship. The kind of fellowship that the disciples had with Jesus is the kind of fellowship that we are to have with Holy Spirit. Amen? You think about the relationship the disciples had with him. They ate with him. They talked with him. They served with him. They lived together. They were so connected. And because they were so connected, their lives had powerful significance and impact, purpose. In the same way that the disciples walked and talked with Jesus is the way that we are to walk and talk with Holy Spirit. I could almost shut down and say I'm done. But there's more I got to tell you. You want him no more. I know you do. But same way, I said, the same way that Jesus walked and talked with his disciples is the way that Holy Spirit wants to talk with us. But number three, we can have problems relating to Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's invisible. I notice there's a lot of things that people don't understand about Holy Spirit. You could be a Christian for a long time, but you can have a shallow, low understanding and experience with Holy Spirit. We know that God reveals himself as a triune God. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, we have no problems relating. We have less problems relating to the Father because we've had a Father in our life, or maybe you are a Father. We can relate to Jesus as a Son because he's revealed in the Bible as a real person who walks and talks and eats and sleeps and lives like us. But then there's Holy Spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. John says, God is spirit. God is spirit. And that means you can't see him with your physical eyes. You can't hear him with your physical ears. But listen, you can sense him. You can hear him deep within your spirit. And he's always speaking to you. He's always prompting to you. He's always nudging you all the time. Listen, so much of our world is invisible. It's non-physical. You think about it. Radio waves, internet, Bluetooth, wireless, they all exist. They're all real. And they're such a big part of our life, aren't they? I remember my granddaughter, Leighton, when she was about 4 or 5 years old, used to always want to watch. She says, Papa, can I watch Netflix? Papa, how did the pictures get on the TV? Listen, we need to be much more aware of the invisible realm. All the Gospels, every single one of the Gospels tells us that Jesus came to announce a new kingdom. And what was the new kingdom? The kingdom of God. An invisible realm invading our physical world. Amen? And God has given us this great privilege to us as believers to live in both realms by the power of Holy Spirit. And we can do that successfully. We can enjoy lives, privileged lives, living in both worlds by the Holy Spirit. And these two worlds, they're not separate. They're clashing. They're overlapping. But we can live with freedom in both realms by Holy Spirit. God has provided everything we need to live successfully in both worlds. Holy Spirit's in our world today. And He's always looking for opportunities to help us advance, move forward, advance the kingdom of God into this world through our everyday lives. You know, I think one of the reasons that we flounder and struggle in life is because we're not listening. We're not tuned in to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, He doesn't shout, He doesn't shove. You know what He does? He whispers. He whispers. Adrian Watt Rogers, I love the story. I'll tell it again. Tells an old story about two guys. They're walking along the streets of New York City. And as they're walking along, one of the guys says, "Hey, did you hear that? There's a cricket chirping on the streets of New York City." And the guy says, "You're crazy." No, he says, no, come back here and just listen. So they went back and listened. And sure enough, they both heard the sound of a cricket chirping in New York City. And the friend of the guy said, "Hey, like, how in the world can you hear that with all that clamor, that traffic, that noise, that chatter? How can you hear that cricket chirping?" And his friend said, "I'm a farm boy, and I love nature. And I'm just tuned into those kind of things. People hear what they want to hear, what they're tuned in to hear." He said, "Let me show you something." And he reaches into his pocket, pulls out a whole bunch of change, and just lets it drop to the sidewalk. And all of a sudden, all the people suddenly stop, and it gets their attention. They were listening to what they were tuned into. Amen? The sound of silver on the concrete was what was on their mind. You tune into, you hear what you are tuned into. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 2, just three times he says this: "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He's given us ears to hear, and He's given us spiritual eyes to see. I want to tell you a story. This happened to us just a few weeks ago. Just a few weeks ago, we were going to fly to Vancouver because we found a great used vehicle to buy to replace our $400,000 RAV. It was 400,000 kilometers. Yeah, sorry, let me get this straight. So we found this great vehicle. We checked it out. My nephew in BC put a down payment. We're flying to Calgary. Booked our flights to air, to Flair. Checked, what do we need to travel? Oh, we don't need your passports. All we need is our driver's license. So we got there early in the morning, waited in line for an hour. Finally, we get on. It's Flair. Not always fun to fly with Flair. So finally, we're getting on, ready to get on. They said, oh, we got to check your ID. And they checked Karen's ID, and they would not let her on because her license had just expired. And they refused to let her on. You know what Karen said? I knew I should have brought those passports. Holy Spirit told me several times, and I didn't do it. Oh, he told you twice then. I got on that flight. I took off. Karen got in our car and drive all the way back home. Holy Spirit, He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. And He wants to empower us. Amen? What time is it? No, I better not. I was going to tell another story. But I got to keep going here. I'm never going to finish. Number four. Holy Spirit helps us to go beyond what is possible to do on our own natural strength. He gives us supernatural ability. We sang this perfect song. He's our about Holy Spirit. I didn't tell the worship team, you guys just give me a lead-in, segue into preaching this message. Holy Spirit is our helper. He helps to do stuff like overcome stuff like envy, jealousy, strife. He reveals our blind spots to us. He reveals our selfishness, our pride, our religiosity. He helps us in our thinking and speaking so we can actually do presentations before people. He helps us to overcome bad habits, powerful addictions like drugs and like alcohol. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be what? Come on, filled with with Holy Spirit. Singing songs, hymns, spiritual songs among you, making music to the Lord in your heart. Holy Spirit makes you happy. If you got a long face and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, come on, get a life. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, He gives you happiness and joy. The joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Amen? Paul says here, he's using an analogy. Alcohol is an analogy. He's saying that alcohol, excessive alcohol, can literally influence you to ruin. Instead, put yourself under the influence of Holy Spirit and be filled. On your screen, that word filled is the Greek word. I've got it in Greek. And the Greek word is pleroustē. Pleroustē. No, next point. The tense and grammar are especially significant in this word. This word, pleroustē, is the present tense indicating continuous and ongoing action. A very literal rendering would be, keep on being filled with Holy Spirit. Continually allow yourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Earliest Bible scholars throughout history, Bible teachers summarize this grammar this way. It's not be filled once. It's not fill yourself. It is. Keep on being continually filled. And if you study your Bible at all, you'll realize the apostles, those apostles, the early believers of Jesus, they were filled on multiple occasions. You look at the Apostle Peter himself. Where did Peter first get filled with the Holy Spirit? On Pentecost, when the Spirit came down. That's Acts chapter 2, right? But Peter got filled more than once. Peter and John were appearing before John, before the Sanhedrin, the heavy-hitting religious leaders. They were brought to trial. They were threatening, literally, with death threats. And I tell you, they might have been shaking in their boots. But then it said there's one verse that says, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden just tore back with these words. You guys are the ones that, this is all about Jesus. You guys are the ones that crucified it. You did it. Such boldness, such power. In Acts chapter 2, all the believers in that upper room were filled with Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5, when Peter and John went back to those early believers after they were let out of that prison, met with the people and said, what happened? They asked them, all the believers, what happened? What did you do? Now, what did they say to you? They said they threatened us. They told us to shut our mouths. We are never to mention Jesus or his resurrection again. They literally threatened us with death. You know what they did? They said they went into prayer. And they prayed, a bold prayer. It says, God, give us boldness to preach the word. Give us power to do signs, wonders, and miracles in your name. And when they prayed that prayer, Acts says the place was shaken. And all the believers were what? Filled with Holy Spirit's power again. And so that they preached the word of God boldly. Amen. This is one of the strongest strongest New Testament texts supporting the idea of an ongoing daily dependence on and yielding to the Holy Spirit. You know, I think of the way that people talk about Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think it confuses people. Some people make the Holy Spirit sound weird and spooky. And because of the way they present Holy Spirit, people get weirded out, which keeps other people wanting to know and experience Holy Spirit the way God wants them to experience Him. Listen, Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. Jesus was never weird in the Bible. Holy Spirit will never make you weird and spooky, but listen, He may make you a bit more radical and fanatical. Amen? He may make you want to love Jesus more than anyone else in this world. He may make you want to love talking about Him more than anything else in this world. Amen? He may make you love coming to church every week and even loving the people within it. Amen? You know, it's not just okay. It is good to be radical and fanatical about Jesus. Amen? Early church learned this. They learned how to be filled with Holy Spirit. They learned how to listen to Holy Spirit. They learned how to use and flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They yielded to the Lord so that they were filled and developed the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They were an awesome, phenomenal people. Amen? And because they depended on Holy Spirit's power. Last point. God doesn't want us to do anything until we receive His power. Holy Spirit provides anointing and power for our lives. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, in Luke's gospel, last chapter, He said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem and receive the gift from on high. There's a gift that my Father wants to give you. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, if Jesus needed the anointing, do you need the anointing? Do we need it? Yeah, absolutely. Two things. Number one, we're to be born of the Spirit. And number two, we are to be filled with Holy Spirit. Let me clarify. When you're born with the Spirit, Holy Spirit comes, the person of Jesus comes and dwells within you. This is indwelling. But there's something more that He wants to do. He wants to fill you so that you literally overflow with Holy Spirit's power like never before. It's not just so that you can change yourself, but so that you can minister to others in a way, in a level that you have never experienced before. Those guys, those early believers, they stood up with death threats. And every time they faced these impossible challenges, because they were filled with Holy Spirit's power, they overcame. They were able to overcome and do incredible things. John chapter 7, verse 38. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. All the believers. I believe Jesus meant for every single born-again believer. Do you believe that? So here's the challenge. I'm finishing up. Let's raise our awareness of Holy Spirit's presence. We sang that song. Let us be more aware of your presence in our lives. On your screen, let's talk to him. Let's talk to him. Let's incorporate him into our prayers. Let's talk to him as we would another person, as a friend, a comforter, a helper. Number two, let's listen to him this week. Let's try to follow just one prompting that comes from him. Maybe he will prompt you to pray for someone, to witness to someone, to tell people about Jesus. Maybe he'll tell you to invite someone to church next week. Encourage someone. Third thing, let's thank him. Let's thank him for being with you, even in the most toughest, challenging times. And the last one, let's thank God daily, right? And thank God for being with you, and let's ask God daily to fill you with his power. Because there's nothing that you and Holy Spirit cannot handle. Amen? Maybe you're here today, and you're a born-again believer. But maybe you come from another church, a background that told you, this was in the past. This doesn't happen today. This is for us today. My prayer today, I want everything that God can give me so that I can live a life that pleases him. So I can live an overcoming life. That I can live in the supernatural realm that God has called me to live in. I want everything that you can give me, God. So if you're a born again believer, you never asked for this gift for the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you a moment to do that. Or maybe you're a believer and you've asked for the gift, but you've stopped coming to him because you believe you only need to come once, which is a lie of the enemy. Jesus never said to me, just come once and you're done, you're good for that. Come to me every single day. Even in the last book of Revelation, come to me and drink. It's about coming back again and again because he's our source. He's the power. Every well has a source. It flows from the throne of God. And we are to drink every single day. Be filled with Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Amen? So we're going to do something. And this is entirely up to you. Let's stand before the Lord. Maybe you've never asked for it. You can agree with me in prayer as we ask for the power, the gift of the Holy Spirit begin to come into your life. And the second prayer I'm going to pray is that we all receive another refreshing, infilling, infusion of Holy Spirit. It all depends upon our receptivity. Jesus says, just believe and just receive. Are you ready for that? God wants to do something in church. Amen? First of all, if you've never received it, just be in a posture of openness to the Lord. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit of God, I don't know if I could continue And I feel his presence. Father, you didn't leave us defenseless. You came to indwell us with your very person, Jesus. Pray for everyone who has never asked. In your mind, just repeat after me, Holy Spirit, Father in heaven, give me the power, Holy Spirit. Baptize me with your power. Saturate my soul. Come into my being. Give me the power to live a life that glorifies you. Fill me now, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Fill me. That's you. That's just say to the Lord, fill me. Fill me, Holy Spirit, with your power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You feel his presence. You've asked for the third time. All you have to do is ask. You, being even know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give you Holy Spirit to all those who ask? Thank you for a fresh, powerful, first-time filling for everyone who has never received him. Lord, come. Lord, just release their tongues. Let there be an evidence of tongues. It may come right now, may come later. But God wants to prove it to you. He's filled by giving you a supernatural heavenly language called the language of tongues. Don't have time to explain it, but it's a powerful weapon that God wants to give you, a personal closeness through this language. Thank you, Father. Release the power of tongues in the name of Jesus. And now I pray for all of us who've one time asked, but we stopped asking, or maybe stopped believing. God, repeat after me, Father in heaven, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh with a powerful new infusion of your power into my being. Anoint me with Holy Spirit's power and presence in my life. And let that power flow out every time I need you or you need me to minister to people, pray for people, love on people, pray for the sick, encourage people, comfort people, help people. Holy Spirit, endue me with power from on high. Father, in Jesus' name I pray. I receive it. I receive it. We receive it now. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray for a manifestation of that Spirit to begin to flow out of a life, our everyday life, with the people that we meet out there who need a touch from God. A word, an act, a prayer, a kindness, love. Fill us with the Holy Spirit's power so that we can love, we can have joy, we can have peace. We can be good to people. We can be kind to people. We can be patient like never before. And that we can have control over our lives in a way that glorifies you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to Jesus. Let's give thanks for Jesus. Let's give thanks to Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. Wow. I felt such a powerful presence of this Holy Spirit. I think this is a special day. Your lives are going to be different after this. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just bow your heads, close your eyes for just a minute. Today I want to speak to that person. You know that there's something missing in your life. Today God the Father offers you this priceless gift called the gift of eternal life, salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ, an abundant life right now with purpose and impact. Not an easy life, but with his help, a life that overcomes. Amen? And when you go to heaven, eternal life in heaven, Jesus Christ paid the entire price for you. He did it on the cross. All you need to do is today is just believe in Jesus, that he went to the cross, paid for your sins, and just invite him into your heart. Let the Holy Spirit come and literally indwell your being. Wow. Bible says you've become born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. So today, that's you, I want you to just repeat the simple prayer after me. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You can receive this gift right now. So if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, please pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, because you can pray this out loud, you can pray this in your heart, you can whisper it to him, he hears your voice. Lord Jesus, dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe you died on the cross and you shed your blood to pay for my sins. Thank you, Jesus. And now, Lord, I open my heart up and I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. With your heads still bowed, eyes still closed. Anyone, you said that prayer for the very first time, or you're watching online for the very first time, I want you to acknowledge it. Anyone here, I want you to raise your hand. Anyone, first time, anyone receive Jesus Christ. Russians, if you see them, make sure if you said that prayer, go back to the kiosk desk. Man, God has got a great life for you, a new life. What an adventure. And if you're watching online and you said that personal prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to Jesus Christ. Welcome to the family of God. We hope to see you here with us. I'd love to meet you if you said that prayer. Will you please press that hand near the bottom of the screen? We want to tell you and connect you with someone to tell you what your next step of faith will be. Amen? Amen. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So good. So good.